Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show with Dad's Point of View. You can email me at bruce@bruceallan.com. That's Bruce and Sallan, S-A-L-L-A-N.com, or S like in Sam's, Pastor Drew Sams, who is my next guest for Spiritual Talk. He is a teaching pastor at Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village, California, where he lives with his wife, Erica, and their first son, Judah Andrew Sams, who's 14 months and 4.5 days old, I believe. Is that correct, Pastor Drew?
Got it nailed down to the day. I love it. Then tomorrow will be the first day he'll ever go to the beach.
Ah, wow. I love all those firsts. Well, let's have the health and welfare update, please.
Yeah, so Judah Andrew Sams is doing great. So much fun. You know, he was sick last week. We talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Those
mm-hmm.
who were listening heard him, you know, whimpering in the background. He's all healed up and doing great and seems like more energy now than he had before. So walking, I think I would call it almost infant jogging. He's not quite running yet. It's so fun.
We
filmed a lot of videos, and tomorrow at the beach will be a lot of fun. We're just going for about an hour and a half, you know, not too much.
Okay,
see
well,
how
lather them up and have an umbrella. That's my only two recommendations.
We're doing both. Yeah.
I would imagine you would. So let's jump right into this topic of sexual abuse. Obviously, religious institutions have come under an incredible amount of scrutiny. So why don't we first talk about how and what you and your church have done to ensure the safety of your kids?
Boy, we take this so seriously. Even outside of all of what we see in the news, I think just as caring human beings, it's our mandate to protect those that can't protect themselves. And so some of the things that we have within a policy at our church, that if anybody wants to volunteer, if somebody comes forward and says, hey, I'd love to help out with the kids, we take them through a very lengthy process, not only to interview them, but also to do fingerprinting and background check. So not one person who interacts with kids, whether it's on a Sunday morning, midweek, at a camp, no matter how short, no matter how long their interaction with the kid is, every single one of them has been fingerprinted and a background check. But that's just, you know, that's just the first step. The second thing is that we have a rule that nobody can be with a minor alone, whether it's in a car, whether it's in a closed-door room, you know, even up at camp, we always make sure that there's at least one other adult present. And also, we really discourage, even if there's another adult present, not to do anything behind closed doors. So even at the church, you know, every room in the church has windows next to the doors. Or if it's a door, it has a big window on it. So we really try to be careful, not only with the opposite sex, but also the same sex. And so some of these things really have just created an environment where we can be above reproach, where kids can feel safe, where parents can feel like their kids are safe. We take it so seriously that we also have people come in and really train us, too, on how to, you know, appropriately interact with kids and also to be able to know how to, if we need to, how to make the phone call. That's so hard. That happens so much for me.
The phone call, what do you mean?
Yeah, let me go into that. So as a pastor, I am, according to the state, a mandated reporter. And so if I ever interact with somebody where I suspect child abuse, whether it's emotional, physical, sexual, also if, you know, in different areas, if somebody I feel like is a danger to somebody else, you know, or danger to themselves, that I am by law mandated, required, bound by law to make that phone call to social services. And that's a hard phone call to make, but we have to, and I've had to make that phone call, and I've done that before. And there's been some situations where we've saved people's lives, that they were in such a physically abusive relationship, pulled them out of that, but also really just freeing a person up to realize they need help and they can't get out of the situation on their own. And that's a difficult choice to make, but it's the right choice to make in many cases.
You know, it's interesting. I talk about this topic a lot in the sense of like bringing it out of the closet. And what that does, in my mind, is make it all of us more vigilant in what we see and what we observe. And therefore, that allows more opportunities for us to protect our kids. It's sort of like what we now unfortunately have to deal with terrorism. So if we're on a plane and somebody is looking suspicious, at least we should check it out or inform somebody else. Israel has lived under that sort of threat for decades. And now, unfortunately, most of the rest of the world and here in the United States, we have to as well. So this is really a case of being informed and being aware. And I think in the past, too often, people would see or think they see things and, well, it's none of my business. And I like that it's a legal mandate. That is actually, and this is a case where the Human Resources Department might actually do some good. Often I think those diversity courses and human resources training and obligations are a bunch of nonsense. But when it comes to protecting our children, I don't think there's any nonsense involved.
Yeah, and I think that there's a sobering weight and reality to it when it becomes a legal issue, even beyond the moral issue, you know, even without it being required by law. I just feel like as a human being, as a pastor, as a Christian, that's my responsibility. And, you know, we see it all the time in the news where, you know, bystanders will see something happen and think it's not their responsibility to jump in and to do something about it. And the psychological or sociological term for that, one of them is social loafing, that we think, oh, somebody else will do it. I don't need to jump in. It's not my responsibility. One of the things I did want to say about the column this week, I really appreciate how Rachel defined sexual abuse. And she simply said, sexual abuse is anything unwanted or inappropriate. And obviously for kids, it's unwanted. And I think a lot of times people try to define what sexual abuse is, but when you go to the base level of just simply something that's unwanted, there's a lot of things that we need to protect kids from in situations.
I agree. The only part of that disturbs me is when you're dealing with an older woman, sometimes I think unwanted, like a 17, 18-year-old or college kid could be, after the fact, they regret it. Well, that's different if it was consensual. And so sometimes that line can be crossed. But I think with children, there's no question about that definition.
I agree. Yeah, that's a great distinction that you pointed out.
Listen, unfortunately, gosh.
Too quick.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know what to say, but please tell our listeners where they could find you, and I'd like a quick progress report on your special blog that you're doing for me.
I am, yeah. So pretty soon people will be able to find at drewsams.com. I'll be up blogging again, but starting with this project I've been working on for you, Bruce, retelling my son's first year of life with photos and videos and highlights. Actually, my brother-in-law was helping me a little bit last week with it. And so it's getting close. I'd say within the month, you can expect that.
Wow. So has it gotten to be bigger than you expected?
It is. That's my problem. You know, I bite off more than I can chew, and then I have such a big appetite for this that it just keeps growing larger and larger.
Well, I think it's a good thing. And this will also be a template to do it in subsequent years, and it'll be easier then, I imagine.
I agree. I appreciate you being the catalyst for it.
Well, my pleasure. All right, we have to go. Thank you, Pastor Drew. We will be back with Dr. Weberman for Spiritual Talk. Hang on.